Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yes,
I
indeed.
Welcome.
Jeez. Howdy. My pain has lessened. I figured out how to do this. So I've been listening and let Bruce talk. Hopefully he'll give me a couple of good stock tips and I'll feel a lot better next week.
Well, none of us is an expert in this. We're all doing what you're doing.
Tennis Tom has been through it for many, many years. He has about 3,600 posts under his belt, and he's beat quite a bit of TMS. You're a runner, right? And you play tennis,
of course,
legendarily.
Yeah, I run in the pool. I just came out of the pool. I ran 30 minutes in the pool and a little backstroke and hurried up here, took a shower, and been listening intently.
Excellent. Good to hear. Well, we're just...
It sounds like you could have some pointers to us based on your level of experience.
Indeed. Very glad.
Thank you. Hey, I have a question for Alan. Do people who've had lobotomies suffer from TMS?
That's a good question. Alan is not on the line today. Gosh, I wonder if they do.
Okay. Yeah, when he comes back, another one about Reiki and therapy. I was wondering if Reiki and therapy would be helpful to TMSers to help dissipate their excess tension.
Oh, my goodness. We will have to ask that. Like I said, he's not on the line tonight. But,
oh, okay.
He is, but we can ask him. Tell us about Reiki and therapy. I'm not actually familiar with that.
Oh, you go basically, you go to a Reiki and shrink's office, and I think you go into a padded cell or something, and you get a baseball bat and beat a mattress. I think that's basically
pretty hardcore.
Yeah, getting rid of your tension by beating a mattress with a baseball bat, I think.
Right.
I've never had it, but it sounds good.
It sounds like Andy Warhol read that. Is that where he got it? He got those happenings?
I don't know, but he was an interesting guy. I read about his biography in Rolling Stone or something. But pardon me if I got confused who was speaking tonight, because I got to the meeting late, and I saw it said something about Alan, but... I think it's been Bruce has been speaking, and am I correct? Or?
Bruce and Forrest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Save those questions for Al next time. But it's been cool. I feel a lot better. I raised the flag. My pain is lessened. It worked. You saw me. I saw you. Said hiya, Tom. I said, God, I'm doing this right. And you know, one thing I think. About how to feel better with your pain is what Dr. Sarno recommends is, and what Steve-O recommends is get a good distraction that you enjoy better than your pain distraction.
Exactly. Someone was quoting, I think it was Doc Trader, who was in touch with Steve-O and said, one of my favorite posts ever. He said, happiness first, healing will follow, which I think is, because I think that's what TMS is about, is it's, TMS closes down your life. It's supposed to be a big distraction, and so you just have to send the message to it, hey, actually, no, I'm going to enjoy my life. I thought it was brilliant.
Yes. Well, from one of my readings of it is, get the TMS... TMS knowledge penicillin, then sleep on it. And according to Steve, I believe, or Dr. Sarna too, then it will fade away. It's like when a pain goes away, you don't all of a sudden, oh, you know, God, it's gone. I didn't think about it, but because you're on to the next one, you know. So I think something about... we don't have enough time in the day for appreciation and thankfulness for the good things we have to appreciate the pains that are gone because we're in too big of a hurry to, you know, get on to the next new pain. So that reflection, meditation, whatever, about being thankful for what we have, like, you know, a car or a bicycle or a Muni bus pass or whatever, frequent flyer miles. We're in our culture, it's culturally, we don't take time out of the day to be thankful for the positive things we have.
Yeah. That was kind of reminds me of what Panda Girl was saying just a second ago. She was talking about how she was going to do her journaling. Tom, I'm curious is your take on this. Do you think it is valuable? So this is a question which Joy asked earlier. Do you think that it is valuable to revisit old past hurts so that you can discharge them? Or do you think that you need to move on beyond them? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
No. I think you'll be reliving those past hurts. Dr. Sarno basically says move on. He says you don't have to dig. I used to say find that black bullet in your past. He only recommends psychotherapy for, like you said earlier, for a small percentage can't overcome it on their own. But for the vast majority of people, just read his book, understand the pain is benign, and you don't have to have surgery, 80%. I figure the odds of it being TMS, I always quote, are 80%, it's TMS. So those are pretty darn good odds, you know. So just do what you want to do. Steve-O in his book, which I'm only halfway through because, but I remember one part, how painful it was for him. He got his wife, who was in a wheelchair, to
You're only halfway
on
through,
him.
Too? That's funny. It's
yeah,
a big book.
Yeah, it's like I got there, and then I started living my dynamic life that Steve-O said to do, and it doesn't mm-hmm. leave a whole lot of time for reading TMS books anymore. I got enough books to last me the rest of my life. I'm never buying another book except for the latest TMS book by his two psychotherapists or psychiatrists, which I saw is now in print. So I will get that one.
Oh, good.
In the stack there. Yeah.
It's a good book.
And I'll look at them. I will get that. But Steve-O said, he didn't say, in order for him to overcome it, he had his wife beat him, literally. He suffered great pain. But I don't have anywhere near his what he went through. And when I think about what he went through, mine is not a big deal. Hopefully I won't have to have my girlfriend beat me with a sticker or
with a broom or something. Yeah, that was a pretty intense story.
Tells people, how hard this can be for some people to get through, to prove them to themselves that the pain is benign. And, read that section of his book of what you have to prove to yourself that you can overcome it, what Steve, did, giving me hope that my pain is nowhere near as bad as his was.
I think that it has that effect for a lot of people. And I think that, going back to the question about discharging and reliving, I think that is a classic debate because I think that a lot of people, when they read Sarno, they say, so much of this comes from childhood, and so much of this is rage. He talks about rage, and so a lot of people will draw the conclusion that you need to go back and re-experience those old issues. I think you need to come to peace with it to some degree. When I've talked to many practitioners, they say, if you don't come to peace with it, it's going to come back and haunt you. But there is this wonderful thread as well of get out there and live your life. That life is a joyous thing, and you want to take advantage of it. Say again.
It's like a balance.
I think it is a balance, and
moderation.
Yeah, when I see someone on the forum or in the chat room or anywhere in my life, what I'm looking for is: are they out of balance? Are they doing too much of one thing and not of another? But I will say that for pain relief, I think to some degree, the deep work, you do the deep work because the deep work is valuable, because you will grow and you will become a rich, you know, you'll just have a richer life. I don't know if you necessarily have to dig up old wounds and re-experience those wounds. I don't know if that's necessary for a lot of people. I really like Alan Gordon's approach. The old experiences changed you. They created a figure inside of you, which is this inner bully. And you got to stop the inner bully. You know, if you're beating yourself up all the time, you got to stop. If you're terrifying yourself all the time, you got to stop. After that, I say enjoy your life. Happiness first, healing will follow, is kind of the direction that I'm going into. Yeah,
what I notice about the inner bully is that it takes two to tango. I have to allow the inner bully to start this dialogue with me, and then I have to take it up. I have for every yin he says, I have to come back with a yang. And it's self-perpetuating that way, but you don't need to. You can stand with that emotion, with it next to you, and not participate in the dialogue, not buy into it. You can just let it be there.
But you need to... Sorry, tell me, when you started out, you said that you had to kind of invite it in. And why do you need to invite it in?
Because the criticism is touching on some element of your self-esteem. It's criticizing your very nature. And since it's part of you, even if it is this unconscious mind that you can't access, it's still you. So you can call a truce. You can just refuse to buy into this, where it starts criticizing you and said, no, I just won't have any of that.
Right.
I won't play ball with you, but you can just be there. You can just sit there all day long. But I'm not going to feed you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to let you build all up out of proportion.
So it's kind of interesting to me that if there's this classic dialogue of how much deep work to do, I see Bruce is kind of a deep worker, and Tom is a little bit on the less deep work side. I'm a little bit of everybody figure out their own thing, but I tend to. Someone in the comments said it sounds like I'm saying to think clean, which is a reference to Monty Hefty. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some wisdom in that for a lot of people. I've read a lot of comments of people who have said that that's really helped them. Stock Trader just jumped in the chat room and he said, I am working on the rage-soothe ratio at this stage of my healing. Is like a boxing match of anger versus happiness, with the confidence that happiness will KO anger at the end. I think that's brilliant. Rage-soothe ratio is one of my favorite. It's just like two little paragraphs in the book, but I love the rage-soothe ratio. I think because it's kind of capturing what Tom was saying, what Steve was saying, all of these good ideas about getting out there and living your life and not letting it hold you down. And I have to say, I'm glad that we're going a little bit later because I'm absolutely loving this conversation. I think as we make this podcast, the key is always to recognize that everyone who's on the line, we're talking to share ideas. We're going to put a resource up and hopefully many people will listen to it. So we always, we can share different ideas respectfully and recognize that different people will have different opinions. But I'm curious, Tom, what do you think about what's been said so far? I'm curious.
I think I want to, it's fun. I mean, I'm looking at the fuse meeting thing. My red flag is up and next time I'm going to, get my camera going, figure out how to get it on and I'll.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Do you have to wear clothes on here if you're on the camera? Or
You only have to have something on your shoulder. I'm actually completely naked below my... No, I'm joking. Yeah. just so I didn't scare you. I do indeed have pants on. But clothes are... As long as I don't know about it, Tom, you can wear whatever you want. You can wear a chicken suit. And as long as I can't see it...
I'll have my girlfriend here, too. I think this is pretty cool is what I think. What I was thinking about while you're asking me that was, our culture is creating the TMS. We are blessed with a very wealthy material culture. There are so many things to do. There's too many things, too many choices. And see, I've chosen, I'm 65, I've chosen tennis and cars, and that's about it. Because I think you got to find a passion. What I'm finding with TMS people is a lot of them don't know if they didn't have their pain. I don't think they know
what would you do
if you didn't have your pain. What would you like to be doing? You know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them I don't think know. And maybe that's part of the pain. If they knew what they wanted to do, get passionate about, like, you know, if you get good at one thing, how you do something is how you do everything. And we have too many things. Real quickly, there's a great line in that movie, Girl Interrupted. I think it's the shoplifter girl, Winona, and Vanessa Redgrave. She doesn't belong in there. Her parents sent her in there because whatever, she's shopping, whatever. And Vanessa says, you know, you're not crazy. Your problem is you're ambivalent. You don't know what you want, basically. And I think that's a problem with a lot of TMSers. Their ambivalence about what do they want out of life, and if they found what they want, get passionate about, and just do it, their pain would disappear because they would have a good distraction and to distract them from the bad distraction.
Yeah. Well, I think what Peter Zaffirides says about TMS occurring at those points in life where there are existential questions that have to be answered. And rather than answer them, things like death, alienation, rather than confronting those things, you come up with this symptomology, this pain symptomology, because it prevents you from dealing with these ultimate things that are hard to face, that are difficult to face, especially if you're going through a bout of low self-esteem following a economic crisis, a family crisis, a divorce, a death in the family. That's what primes it. I realize just now that if you have high self-esteem, do you really care about rage? Do you really care about self-pity? Do you feel about sorrow? All of those things are in their place in balance, Ben, if you are together in yourself. And then that enemy doesn't come up next to you either and start nagging at you, trying to engage you in a self-depreciating dialogue. How can he come in? How can the bully come in if you feel good about yourself? Just get out of here, you know?
Right. You step over them like they were doo-doo, and say, I don't want to slow down for this, and I don't want to engage in this. I want to get on with what I want to be doing. Let me bypass this this character or whatever.
Yeah, you're living. You're really doing it.
Yeah.
You aren't in this ambivalent existential crisis state.
And I kind of wonder, though, I mean, when we talk about people having too many choices and being ambivalent, do you think that that's something that we, in some sense, do we decide to do that? Do you think that there is, because it seems like we should be able to have a lot of choices and just blow them off and just say, okay, this is good enough. I'm going to I could choose the chocolate or the vanilla. I'm going to go with the chocolate. And, you know, like.
Now, it's our culture. We are living in this time of the most incredible material civilization on the planet, and we're bombarded by advertisements for everything and seeing all this stuff, and you got to do everything. And I guess after you get to my age, you realize, I'm never going to do all that. So you choose a couple of things you really like and kind of ignore the rest. and I just watch Tennis Channel and Northern News, and we watch a little Voice and stuff like that, kind of entertainment, and avoid all violent shows, and haven't watched a news program in ages or read a newspaper. Just avoid all that bad news and find out what you know wanna do, wanna watch.
Life is yours to live it. The stock trader in the chat room, tmswiki.org/chat, just said TMS has introduced me to a world of psychology and mindfulness. I am now implementing mindfulness with stock trading. I think that is brilliant. I can't tell you how many people interested in TMS are interested in mindfulness. Andrew Miller is the most recent one to talk about it. He said he is a TMSer himself. He said in a recent post, "Oh, and I'd like to include one other piece. I'd highly encourage everyone to check out some form of mindfulness practice to include in their lives. Meditation has been an integral part of my life since discovering TMS. I find that it goes a long way in separating myself from the internal dialogue of self-judgment that comes with the personality closely associated with TMS." And I think that makes sense. I've been rereading Healing Back, or listening actually to the CDs of Healing Back Pain, because they're so good and because they really are the foundation. And I remember Dr. Sarno said that he was amazed at how prevalent low self-esteem was in our culture. And I guess when I hear Tom talking about, you know, the world and all the advertising that we're faced with and all these other features that we have to deal with, you know, it feels like that is a significant source of self-esteem. And I guess from what Andrew is saying is that if you can be mindful of the self-dialogue, then you can beat it. But then there is this classic technique, which I'm hearing more from Tom, which I love and I think is great. If you can do this, the absolute best thing to do is just get out there and play tennis. You know, get out there, find something that you love. For me, it's this website. It's, you know, it's running these podcasts. It's doing this stuff. I'm not going to lie. I do get tired, and sometimes I wonder, you know, like, will it ever get big enough to kind of doing it on its own? But I have to say, I love it. It is, you know, the most wonderful thing in my life. And so, yeah, just find something that you love and dive into it.
Yeah, get passionate about it. And get tired. When you get tired, go to sleep, you know, or turn on Howard Stern, you know, a TMS hero, and, you know, and say, God, I'm tired, I can't do anything. You just fall asleep, you know, thinking about good stuff. Yeah. I used to have trouble going to sleep, and I realized I would start reviewing my tennis lessons that I got, and, man, bam, I was out like a light. Within like a few seconds, I was thinking about tennis, and I was gone. I had no insomnia problem at all. Think about something you like, and you'll just nod off.
That's so funny. It's always interesting to hear the resonances between different things. Panda Girl, who was on here before, was just talking about how she made sure to write about the things that she was grateful for before bed. Stock Trader mentioned another really common theme, which I hear all the time in the chat room. He says, noticing, accepting, and letting go will always be a tool for me for my lifetime. When I was talking about the balance between deep work and just getting out there and enjoying life, the thing which I always think about is, you know, you do some of the deep work because you enjoy it, because it makes your life more meaningful. If you want to do the deep work, do the deep work. You'll live a happier life. But I am a believer, a strong believer, that if you want to feel less pain, play tennis because you enjoy it. I'm just using that as an example. If you want to feel less pain, make a website because you enjoy it. You know, kiss your girlfriend because you enjoy it. Do whatever it is that floats your boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers to that. Shall we wrap up our little marathon podcast here? Tom, I hope you'll come back and join us next week.
Oh yeah, it was fun. And I thought Bruce was Alan Gordon. I think now I see his picture there. So confused.
Never to be confused.
It is their sagely voice.
You were very convincing. I thought you were Alan Gordon for the first half hour. That's why I came up with those questions about lobotomy.
Oh, no.
And you make a good Alan Gordon.
There you go.
Well, I just was quoting something that Alan said. Yeah, he's.
Well, you might be a good understudy or body double.
Well, he really does these things. I just aimlessly philosophize about them.
Bruce is our scholar, I think. He is the one who, when we're reading a book, like when we were reading that recent book by Fran Anderson and Eric Sherman, Pathways to Pain Relief, he was the one who gave us the chapter summaries, and always very well done. Maybe that's
cool.
What you were picking up on. We should wrap up, and I'll see everyone next week.
Okay,
cool.
Good enough.
Thank you for it.
All right, thank you.